Power Hour. It's the what? Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and
Natives. Every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, get crushed out your eyes. We about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like, how do we get out this low estate? We let the scripts prophesy. We bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you precept upon precept, line upon line. The scripts say we're the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power.
The what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Shalom, shalom, Most High in Christ blessed. Welcome to another edition of the Wednesday night installment of the Power Hour, where we discuss Native, Latin, and Black biblical topics. I am Captain Amariah.
Officer Shia.
He said it sounded nice. Let's make it twice. Right? Yes, sir. We just run it back. Mm-hmm. Run it back, Jack. All right, that's what's up. All praises.
Yes, sir.
All right. Again, all praise to the Most High in Christ for allowing us another slot to come bring forth his word as it is written. As you can see, the topic is Hired by God. Here on Wednesday nights, we never dive into anything deep or crazy.
The camel? Right?
You guys have the bishop and deacons to be able to do those things for you.
Deacon went in.
Deacon went in.
Deacon, yeah, bro.
All right. So I'm always going to keep it kiss.
Right.
Keep it simple. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Things that pertain to our salvation, things that we need to know, and things that we can utilize in our every single day lives as we take this walk in repentance with Christ. All right. Let me start with 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. One of my favorites.
The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 5.
With the camera? Yes. It is.
In transition?
Yes. It's on.
Okay.
There we go. There we go.
2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate.
So this is one of my favorite scriptures, something that we can all apply in our everyday lives, something that we need to utilize on a consistent basis, not day to day, not month to month, not hour to hour, but second to second. Because at any single time, Satan can get a foothold on you, and then now there's that small kink in the armor, and you're allowing him to come through and start to try you and pull you back out of that spirit and back into the world. So we must examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, because brothers and sisters, and I say brothers and sisters because we've all been hired by God, all right? Each and every single last one of us. And just like how you can compare it to a carnal job, like a worldly job, jobs have requirements, they have prereqs, they have certain responsibilities. So it's no different with us in the Most High in Christ, right? First, let me get John. Let me get John. Chapter 14 and chapter 15, verse 16. I'm going to start there.
The book of John, chapter 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you.
It says, this is Christ speaking, right? These letters are in red, so we know that this is the Lord speaking to us, right? Through the Apostle John, he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. As much as we all may like to think that we are going through something, because most of us were going through some type of trial or tribulation, had some kind of question,
right,
that got answered. The Most High, at that time, through that flyer or that video or whatever it was, whatever the case may be, sent the Spirit on a brother or sister to come deliver a message to you because he chose you and ordained you, right? So I used to say all the time, oh, yeah, you know, I chose to repent. I came to the truth at this time. Like, nah, Christ made it very clear. Listen, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. But he says, and I ordained you that ye may go and bring forth fruit. Mm-hmm. What does that take? That takes labor. That right. takes action. He didn't say, I chose you and ordained you. That way you may come into this and say, I'm Israel. Ha! Washing the blood of Jesus.
Judah.
Right, exactly. It's more than yelling Judah and wearing lion rings, all right?
Right.
This walk has much more to do than that, all right? Sisters, it's much more than holding up a Sabbath plate and smiling for the camera. Mm-hmm. It's much more than that. It takes forth action.
Right.
This walk is a what have you done for me lately type of walk. The Lord's always looking for us to grow and bring forth that fruit. That way that fruit may remain, because we all want to get salvation at the end. Let's go there real quick. You get Peter's. Let's just prove what I just said. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Let's just prove that statement that I just made. Let's let the Lord.
The book of 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
It says, but grow in grace. It doesn't say continue in grace. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say stay in grace. He uses the word specifically here, all right? Captain Joshua brings it out all the time, that the words are in the Bible for a specific reason. There's no word that they call filler words, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just there to be a filler word. It's there to give a well-rounded understanding to what is being articulated here. So when Peter says to grow in grace, he's letting you know that as you take this walk, there'll be trials, there'll be tribulations. It's going to become times where it's like, damn, because that tangible reward is not being yet seen.
Right.
Because we as a people, we're very stiff-necked, rebellious, and we want that immediate satisfaction of something.
Right.
But that's why when he says that we walk by faith, right?
Right.
I can't stand when Christians pull that, because they don't even know what that means. Like, listen, nobody knows how much that we need to walk by faith than those that have put on the hat of being an Israelite,
right.
Repented, and are keeping the commandments and striving in the Lord.
Right.
No one knows how much that means to walk in faith than us.
Hey, Cap, I was reading 1 Ezra chapter 1 last night, and he goes, the Most High is like saying, yo, I've done everything for you guys. I brought down kingdoms for you guys. I brought down kings for you guys. And y'all did me wrong. But there's going to come a time that these people that have not seen my works are going to believe me and do what I have commanded. 1 Ezra chapter 1 and what is it, 35.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
that's
yeah.
heavy.
Oh, yeah. We'll do that later.
And that's heavy.
That's why when it comes to long-suffering and mercy and how much the Lord loves the nation of Israel, again, no one understands that more than us that actually see the stiff-neckedness and rebelliousness. You know what's funny? I was having a conversation with somebody, and it's under the whole ideology of Christ died to do away with the laws. And when you think about that, it's like, how sick do you got to be in the head to think that the first creation of the Most High God, right, his son, he brutally murdered for you to be lawless?
Just be reckless.
And you think that he's going to come back and give you hugs, lollipops, puppies, and kisses? Hell no. He says, I will not meet thee as a man. Because he comes back, he's coming back as God. He's going to be pissed off.
Right.
Which he should be. Because he saw how everything played out. And he had his beard pulled out. He was beaten brutally. He was hung on a cross.
He said, Lord, if that world can take this cup from me.
Right. All these things happened to him. And he saw that 2/3 of the people still weren't going to repent. And you think he's coming back just okay with that? No, he's not. He is not. But it says, but grow in grace. Let us know that once we've been hired by God, listen, God's always taking applications. All right, let's make that very clear. He's always taking applications. It doesn't mean that you're going to get the job, though. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a 2/3 club.
Right.
Right? Maybe your application sat on file for a while. You know, because maybe you heard something, you're like, oh, that sounds good, but then something offended you. Like we always say, time and space is afforded to everybody.
Right.
I came into this truth in January of 2012, right?
Mm.
But I first heard the truth at the end of 2010.
Damn.
Because I was like, oh, look at this guy over here on the corner shouting that Jesus is black. I'm like, this This is interesting.
Yeah.
Because he had such a variant spirit in how he was bringing it out and just like really offending people. And I wasn't watching for edification purposes. I was watching because it was entertaining. I'm like, this guy's crazy. And it wasn't the fact that he said Christ is black that got my attention. It was just this guy standing on the corner by himself is calling the white man the devil and saying that Christ is black. There was no laws being taught. There was no history being taught. So I couldn't really take in what he was saying other than the fact that I was just in awe that this guy was
in the street corner
going in on these people. And I was like, man.
Like you see the movies, you know, the like the homeless with the sign and he's in this mirror.
Right, right. Well, for us, it's the beginning is near.
Right, right.
Right. But still, though, it took another, what, year and like 3 months for me to
and
hear
that
it again.
Officer's car?
No, that wasn't Officer's car. That was actually, I don't even remember what camp he was.
Oh, was in the camp?
Yeah, maybe he was like a lonely life. I don't know.
Okay.
But it was just somebody, and I've never seen him again, that was saying Christ is black, the white man is the devil. But that lets you know that those are clouds without water, right?
Mm.
So nothing resonated with my spirit. And this is how you know that it's all the Lord, too, because when Officer Issachar gave me the message, right, he started with Christ being black. So it was the same thing being said.
Right.
But the Lord knew that at that moment,
at that time,
I was not ready to receive that yet.
Mm.
And then Lord, all praise the Most High, he spared my life. And then I was given the same message, hey, Christ is black. But then this time, though, it was proven through the scriptures.
Gotcha.
The scripture says, if any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God.
Right.
So now, let's go to Matthew 20 and verse 1. Well, actually, you know what? Give me Matthew 10 verse 13. I'm sorry. Or no, 13 verse 10.
13 verse 10.
I'm all dyslexic today. Let me see. Yeah, that's the one. Matthew 13 verse 10.
The book of Matthew, chapter 13 verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables?
So now, this is when Christ was out teaching the people. And his disciples came to them and they asked him a question, right? They said, why do you speak to the people using parables, right? Why don't you make things more clear? And then Christ is going to give a very heavy answer that a lot of our people don't understand. People like to think that there's some kind of magic scripture. What's the secret sauce?
Right.
Like the secret sauce is the commandments and the faith of Christ. That is the secret sauce. That's it.
Right.
Everything, the Bible is extremely repetitive. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, it says the same things over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just delivered in different ways.
Kevin did a heavy classroom while we were in quarantine, the Holy Calling.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, I can't find that class. I'm like searching and searching, and that, I was like, damn.
That's Satan.
That Holy Calling, that's it. We were brought into this truth, ordained from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and it's not a light thing. It's a holy calling.
It's not a light thing at all. And then people always say, well, what is it? What is it? It's like, listen, it's the Bible tells you that salvation is open for the nation of Israel. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep the commandments. Everything revolves around the law. So like when I have conversations with people that don't understand it because they've been their conscience has been so seared with Christianity and all these other religions,
right,
that they can't fathom the law because they've been taught the exact opposite.
Mm.
Right? But read that.
Verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
So there it is. Christ makes it very plain. He says, listen, I speak to them in parables because it's not meant for them to get it.
Mm.
It's not meant for them to get it. If you're here for any supposition of time, man, you better face the east, put your hands up towards the heavens, and thank the Lord that you have breath in your lungs to be able to repent as an Israelite and continue to strive in the commandments. Because there's some people, all they're going to get is walk by camp and they say, hey, here, brother, here's a flyer.
Here's a flyer. Nah, I'm good.
No, I'm good.
Right.
Or they do the whole head turn, that way they can read it, and they see truth about slavery. Are the true description of Christ.
Right.
So they'll see something like that. Or, hey, brother, you know that you're an Israelite from the tribe of Judah, of the nation of Israel? That's all they're going to get. They're never going to be able to get fringes and put on a beard and keep the Sabbath because that's what the Lord has designed for them.
Mm.
So making your calling and election sure being after you were hired by God is a heavy thing. It's not a light thing. But he says that you need to labor to bring forth these fruits. You've been ordained to labor. It's not just ordained to just come here, sit here, and say, okay, I'm miserable. Now, if you're striving in the commandments, right, maybe you'll give salvation that way, just knowing you're Israel, but keeping the commandments to the best of your ability.
Right.
Maybe, I don't know. But if your reward is based upon how much work you do, then why wouldn't you want the best reward possible?
Right.
Right? It's kind of like the person at work that's okay with not working overtime, right? They're okay with taking BTO and just getting short paychecks because they're content with just barely inching by.
Yeah.
We got brothers and sisters like that. They're okay with coming to the Sabbath, and then that's it.
Hey, Kev, you know what's crazy? There's times that I think I'm like, damn, if I can be number 12,000 of the 144,000 of the tribe of Issachar, praises.
Hey,
if I can be number 12,000, I'll praise.
The scripture says that it's better to be a doorkeeper,
right,
than to be without the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
So any way I can make it,
right,
that's how I want to make it. But the scripture says that the Lord is not unjust to reward you for the work that you do for him. So if you see all these different rewards that are predicated on how much work you do for him, then you need to strive until death to make sure that you get that reward, because he's not unjust to reward you just that.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, he says, because you did good work, you get 10 cities. You get 5 cities, right?
Right.
Again, I don't mind being a doorkeeper, but if I could be over 10 cities, then that's what I want. It would be the Lord's will, right?
Right.
But he says, it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. All right? Let's get one of these mysteries real quick. You get Colossians, the church of Colossae. The book of Colossians, chapter 1, and we start at verse 25, because we just read in Matthew chapter 13 where he said that it's given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So those mysteries are not given to everybody. All right? Read that.
The book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 25. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God.
So that's our purpose, as we were hired by God to come work in his vineyard, to labor in sincerity and truth. Our job is to teach and to fulfill the word of God. Men, learn how to be men according to the scriptures. Take care of your families, work, get a job, learn how to be your brother's keeper. Build yourself up to a point to where you're ready to go out and teach on the streets. Now listen, there may be people that are in this truth 10, 20, 30, 40 years that will never get to that level to where they're able to be able to articulate the scriptures well enough to teach on the streets. But that's okay. They were still hired by God for a purpose, all right? Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, you got a Fortune 500 company, right? There's many levels between the CEO and the mail clerk, all right? Not everyone's going to be the CEO, all right? Listen, there needs to be a maintenance department, right?
Right.
There needs to be a sanitation department.
Right.
But if you work in the sanitation, then be the best sanitizer that you could possibly be.
Right.
Because it says, do all things as unto the Lord. Read verse 26.
Verse 26. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages.
It says, even the mystery of what? That the blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans are the 12 tribes of Israel, are the biblical Jews, are the ones that were stripped from our heritage for our disobedience toward the Heavenly Father. Read.
And from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints.
So when Christ said, it's given to you to know the mysteries, but unto them it's not given, as much as we can go to somebody, because there's been plenty of times, I mean, plenty of times, where I've been bringing out scriptures to somebody, and I'm like, man, like, man, I guarantee I'm going to see this brother at the Sabbath. Like, hold on here. Let me get him a Bible and an Apocrypha.
Yeah.
Hey, brother, here's my shirt. Here's some friends. Because I know, like, you know what? Like, man, like, it's kind of like you black out and you come to and you're like, oh, my goodness.
I just spit some fire. Like,
I felt like I was hovering above my own body. Watch myself bring that up. And at the end, they're like, yeah, but, you know, I mean, everyone has their own beliefs. And you're like, damn. Because it's not given to everyone to understand that mystery. That's why he calls it a mystery. It's not a mystery only because it's been hidden, because the prophecy would be that there would come a time when people will go on the streets and start teaching their Israel, right? The mystery is simply understanding and actually believing that God has a chosen people and that they're the Israelites,
right,
and that's who salvation is for. And today they're called the Native Americans, the Hispanics, and the Blacks.
Right.
Who the world sees as the base things.
Right.
But that's because of our disobedience, right? From there. Now let me get Matthew 20 and verse 1.
The book of Matthew, chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is in householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard.
All right, read verse 1 again. I'm sorry about that.
For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is in householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard.
All right, so it says the kingdom of heaven. Now, here's a parable that Christ is giving. Remember, we just read that Christ speaks to us in parables because it's not meant for everyone to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, right? So it says the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is in household, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. You mean the vineyard?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 5, and verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel.
So the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. It doesn't say is the house of all nations. It doesn't say is the Gentiles. That's another one too, man. We have to destroy that topic one week.
Right.
The whole Jews and Gentiles things are the whole. It says no Jew nor Greek, man. Read it for yourself, man. Bro, you gotta understand. Why does he specify Greek?
Right.
Why didn't he say Philistine or Jebusite or Moabite? Mm. Why does he specify Greek? Because there's history that you don't know about.
Right.
Right? But I digress. All right. So the vineyard is referring to the nation of Israel. So read verse 1 again in Matthew.
Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is in householders, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard.
So we just read that the vineyard is referring to the nation of Israel. The householder is speaking of Christ, right? He's the one that said, I chose you that you didn't choose me, right? He's the shepherd, right? He's the king of kings, right?
Lord of Lords.
It says, went up early in the morning to hire laborers, right? We can't just pass over that word laborers. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say, went out early in the morning to hire staff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guarantee we all have that one or two people at our jobs that just sweep by, right? Like, damn. Like, how does this guy check as much as mine and he don't do nothing?
Mm.
Right? There's always that someone that just kind of plays the system and kind of just does enough to get by.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And it drives me insane. But it says to hire laborers. Why? Because Christ let us know. He said the kingdom of heaven is within you. That's another one, too, that Christians don't understand.
Damn.
Like, oh, they just think, oh, that sounds so good. That sounds so good.
Right, right.
It didn't mean where?
Speaking into permission.
Oh, yeah. Oh, let me speak into existence.
Yeah, right, right, right.
I had someone tell me, hey, listen, I just applied for a job. And I said, oh, that's great. I hope you get it. That's okay. I already spoke into existence.
What?
And it pissed me off when they get the job because they're like, see, I spoke into existence. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, Satan has the ability to give blessings to
right,
you. Know?
Right,
right. It's not okay. I already claimed it.
Damn.
Oh, gosh.
So you're God now, what?
Right. It says that they went to hire laborers, meaning it's going to be something that takes every single hand to the plow, all right? Christ said the field is plenteous, but the laborers are few. It doesn't say that the works are the people that are here are few. Because look at Israel as a nation of people. I mean, we're huge, bro. We're big. We are huge. I'm talking about even within those that know that they're Israel.
Oh, okay.
But not everybody has that same mindset to be able to put their hands to the plow.
Right.
All right?
Right.
We don't, like this, we're, here, let's get real. You can get that answer wrong. I believe it's 19 about desire, not the multitude of unprofitable children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get that. Listen, as much as 16 verse 1, as much as we like to glory when our numbers get to a certain point, because that is a good thing, right? Luke tells you that the sinners rejoice. Oh, I'm sorry. The angels rejoice when one sinner repents, right?
Right.
So So when people come in here to congregate, trust me, we love that thing.
Right.
Right? But now they need to be built to a point where they're putting their hands to the plow. It's not to just come here and warm a seat.
Right.
It's to come here and put in that brick to build up that spiritual house, which is the nation of Israel. Read that.
The book of Sirach, chapter 16, verse 1. Desire not a multitude of unprofitable children.
It says, desire not the multitude of unprofitable children. All right? Again, it's a goodly thing when we see people come in here and they know they're Israel.
Right.
Like, when people come in, they're like, oh, I'm Asher. I'm like, what?
Right.
Yo.
I'll pray those tribes that are...
Naphtali's waking up. Oh, the 11th hour is upon us.
Mm.
Right? So, trust me, I glory in that thing. I love it. But it says to desire not the multitude of unprofitable children. Read.
Neither delight in ungodly sons.
So we're not supposed to get so caught up on numbers, right? Because the Lord said that he can make it to where rocks can become Israelites.
Right.
Right? Listen, if you won't do the work, then you'll be quickly moved aside, right? And being hired by God and coming into this workforce, it's kind of like a worldly job, right? You're expected to perform at a certain level. You're expected to do certain things. If you're slothful and always being tardy, if you have all these attendance points,
right?
If you're not hitting quotas, if you're not meeting the necessary mandated things that the boss has put in place, then there's steps to that, right?
Right.
There's verbals, there's written,
right.
There's suspensions, and then eventually you're terminated.
Right.
So why do we think that the Lord works in any other way than just that?
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same thing. There's prereqs when you come into this walk with Christ. Go back to Matthew 20 and read verse 2 now.
And when brothers come in, right, it is that proving point, because they come in and they're proud and they say they're tribe, but then it's like, all right, I'm not going to be hasty to credit you. I want to see you stay and build or just go with, like, brothers come in and out.
You know what's funny that you said that? Because people come in here and they're so quick to be like, how do I get that purple shirt? Or I had someone tell me, okay, so, because I told him that, what was the phrase I used? I said that he was a upgrade. Because, you know, we call some Christians upgrade.
Right.
Right. Means that they know precepts. Again, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge whatsoever.
Right.
He can't break down what he's reading, but he can quote stuff. So I said, oh, yeah, you're kind of an upgrade. Which it's still a low level play for stuff. Like this dude would get destroyed if we went tit for tat. And it's not to boast, but no one can break down this Bible the way that repenting Israelites can.
Oh,
that's just how it is. So he says, well, you know what? If I decide to come to school and start learning, you know, like what would my rank be? And I'm like, what would your rank be? Like, what do you mean? He's like, well, yeah, because you said like I'm an upgrade. So like, would I be a captain like you, or would I be like? I was like, I said, brother, that's not how it works. I'm like, in the same thing in Esau's workforce,
right.
You get hired, and then like you said, after that proving process, now you become like an assistant manager,
mm-hmm.
a manager, mm-hmm. a regional manager.
You get placed where you belong.
Right. You get put. You move up the chain. I said, brother, it don't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you know John 3:16 doesn't mean that you can come into IUIC and be a captain. And teach the people. That's not how this works. But read verse 2 again.
The book of Matthew, chapter 20, verse 2. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day.
So the laborers is referring to those that Christ chose and sanctified from the very beginning. Before there ever was, and God said, let there be light, guess what? We were told, hey, Ashai, you're going to come into the earth, and you're going to be from the tribe of Issachar.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You said maybe Gad, but...
By the way of Gad.
By the way of Gad, hey, either or, you know what I'm saying? Lord will, you get a gate, right?
Yes, sir.
So he said, listen, you're going to go and you'll be of the lineage of the sons of God. And this is the position you're going to play.
Right.
And it said, no man speak against that, because who's going to speak against God? That's the other thing. Two people say, well, why?
Mm.
Well, you know what? 99.99999% of things I don't understand. I just do it because the Bible says to do it. So how can I see that we went into slavery on cargo slave ships, right?
Mm-hmm.
How can I see that we were put into captivity with yokes of iron, stripped from our heritage, stripped from our families, beaten, police brutality, all these things. How can I see those in the scriptures and then be forced and say, well, but why? Why, God?
Yeah.
All I know is, listen, that came to pass. So when he says this,
it's going to happen.
Everything the scripture says has, is, and will come to pass. The scripture can't be broken.
That's right.
It's just our part to play our position. But he says, we agree with the laborers, meaning those that he called into his vineyard, brothers and sisters,
right?
Let that be known. You can't build a nation with just men. Sisters play a huge, vital role in the rebuilding of the nation of Israel, all right? It's not to be above the man. It's not to be equal with the man, because that's what a sister told me one time. See, Eve was taken out of Adam's rib to be side by side with him as his equal.
Damn.
I said, no, Eve was taken out of Adam so they can be on one mind, one accord, and keeping the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's why. I said, no, that's not what that means. But read on.
He sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour and saw the others standing idle in the marketplace. Said unto them.
No, that's right there. So it says, and he agreed with them for a penny a day.
Okay.
Right. The penny represents all the promises, right? All the promises that the Lord made to the nation of Israel if we continue and we labor in sincerity and truth. The penny represents all the promises that will be given to the nation of Israel. There's many scriptures
right.
to go over what that penny is. But here, I'll get one real quick. Give me 2 Corinthians. The book of 2 Corinthians, the church that was so rebellious that they needed two letters.
Mm.
Oh, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
So the scripture says, the apostle Paul, through the spirit of Christ, is letting the nation of Israel know, listen, eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard the things which God has prepared for them that come back and love him. That penny, that reward is so great that in your carnal mind, you can't even begin to even fathom how great it's going to be.
Right.
I always said, right? I always say, it's going to be so great that you're going to be content with living forever.
Mm.
That's how great the kingdom is going to be. Because in our carnal minds, you think we can't fathom forever.
Right.
Because the Lord put a time to everything for us, right? We can't fathom forever.
Mm.
It's impossible. Like you will drive yourself crazy if you think about the whole concept of forever. And in our carnal bodies, in our carnal minds, we say, oh, you know what? I mean, you would have to get old eventually.
Right.
You know? Or there's people that are on their deathbeds and they say things like, you know what? I've done everything that I've wanted to accomplish.
Mm. I'm ready.
I'm okay with dying.
Mm.
I lived a good life. I'm okay.
I think there's the only Edomites that say that made it good.
Well, they're the only ones that can say that.
Yeah.
To be honest. Because, I mean, this is their kingdom, right?
Right.
And we can't compare that to when Paul says, listen, I've fought a good fight. Right, I stayed the course. That's because he saw the end times and he knew he would be given the kingdom of heaven.
Mm.
Right, that's why he was content. And besides, Paul got beat, Paul got thrown in jail, Paul got killed teaching this gospel. And the Spirit of the Lord brought him back to life and he went right back into the same city.
Mm.
None of us have had those types of tribulations, none of us.
Right,
but they're the only ones, like you said, that could say that. But can you imagine? Just being content with living forever. That's how great that penny is going to be for those that continue to stay the course. It says, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour. This is a supposition of time, all right? The hours represent time. It starts at noonday, and then it goes to 3, to 6, so on and so forth, right? It's talking about the supposition of time of the nation of Israel beginning to slowly wake up, starting first with the tents of
Judah,
right? Because that's prophecy. Listen, you look at the turbulent 60s, right? That's what they call it.
Yeah.
The spirit that was on Judah to do what they did during the 60s, no other tribe would have done that.
Right.
As much as people would like to badmouth Martin Luther King Jr. for the message that he was spreading, you know, his peace and
right.
little white girls should hold hands with little black boys.
Right.
Right. As much as we don't like that message, he still got an entire nation of people to boycott public transportation.
Mm.
Listen, you live in Maricopa, right?
Right.
And you work in the East Valley.
Yeah.
Could you imagine walking to work every day?
Hell no.
And that's what he was able to do for years. It wasn't just like in like a weekend thing.
Right.
He was able to get people to stop using public transportation.
And the Most High used those men and gave us today the privilege to go out into the streets in the street corners and say, hey, brother, you're an Israelite, God's chosen people.
Oh, absolutely. For sure.
So,
for sure. Hey, listen. I was of that. I was of that cloth that, oh, F. MLK, he's a coon.
Right.
But now, like you said, in looking back at what he was able to accomplish and how it's affected us today,
right.
he was used by the Lord to accomplish what he was meant to accomplish.
Right.
So from there, let's get Romans 9 real quick. Romans 9, hired by God. Let's see who's able to even be hired by God. Romans 9, verse 3.
The book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh.
It says for his brethren and his kinsmen, according to the flesh. Verse 4 is going to explain who his brethren and his kinsmen are, according to the flesh. Read.
Who are Israelites?
Who are the Israelites? The Native Americans, Latins, and Blacks, so-called today. Those are the Israelites. Read.
To whom? Pertaineth the adoption and the glory.
So the adoption of Christ dying on the cross, the glory of the kingdom of heaven, right? That penny, that reward that we also desperately want. Because if not, then why are you here? What are you striving for? Just go freaking enjoy this kingdom because it ain't going to last forever. Every single kingdom has an expiration date.
Right.
But we like to think that America will last forever. Hell no. There will not be joint rulership with Trump and Christ. That's not how it works. Right? We'll read on.
And the covenants.
The covenants. The old covenant of animal sacrifice and the new covenant of Christ being the ultimate sacrifice pertain to the Israelites. Read.
And the giving of the law. And the service of God and the promises.
And the service of God. That was the point that I wanted from that verse. Right?
It's a heavy point right there. The service of God.
So the people that are able to serve God or be the servants of God, or be hired by God, right? Today they call them employees, but back then they were called servants.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
Right? Because you say servant now, no one owns me.
I'm not your slave.
No one owns me. What is this, 1865? Mm-hmm. Okay, brother, listen, relax. Okay. The only people that were able to be servants of God or hired by God are the Israelites.
Right.
So, if you know that, then shouldn't you want to have it in your mind to do exactly what that person hired you to do to the best of your ability,
mm-hmm.
right? Because those things are shown unto us. Those are part of the mysteries that were shown to us in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. Let's see what this hiring manager requires of the 12 tribes of Israel as we take this walk in repentance.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?
So what does the Lord thy God require of you? Now that you've been hired, listen, I've never filled out a job application, went into an interview, and then discussed my own personal likes and dislikes, mm-hmm. what goes on in my personal life, and then discussed the job and got hired, and came in every day and then was expected to do whatever I felt like doing.
Right.
We discuss what the job entails, what my everyday duties would be, right? Things that would become profitable to the company,
right?
Because as an employee being hired by somebody, my job is to benefit them.
Right.
And our jobs as servants of God is to benefit the nation of Israel. Bring forth fruit and meat for repentance, it says, right?
Like it says in Matthew 5, where it says, let your light shine so the glory can be of the Lord.
Right, exactly. Let your light so shine that way they may glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Right.
Right. That's why we do what we do. Christ even said, hey, listen, Why are you calling me good?
Right, I'm not good.
There was none good but one, that is the Father. Mm-hmm. So everything we do is to glorify God, right? But it says, what does the Lord thy God require of thee, Reed?
But to fear the Lord thy God.
So that's the first thing that he requires of you, is to fear him. It's to fear him. Someone told me something ignorant one time. They said, why would I want to serve a God that wants me to fear him?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, because it's that lack of fear is why you think that you're a Mexican right now.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is the beginning of wisdom. Once you know that the Most High is just that, the Most High, and he's in control of everything, then there needs to be a sense of fear put into you. Because it's that fear that puts an impulse on sin. Especially that willful sin. And don't use the excuse, well, hey, a just man falls 7 times. Mm-hmm. Of course you're going to fall in this walk. Because you're being born again. Meaning you're learning to live your life all over again. All right? So whether you were 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, whatever the case may be.
Right?
You're learning to live your life over again. You will stumble. Scripture says we all have sin. He that says that he doesn't deceive his own self.
Right.
But like I say, there's a difference between falling down and lying down.
Right.
Right. But it says you got to fear the Lord thy God. That's the first stipulation, Reed.
To walk in all his ways.
To walk in all his ways. Not some of his ways. It doesn't say to walk in this way and then start doing your own ways and say, well, I'm doing it for God.
Mm.
That's called Christianity.
That is Christianity.
People that leave this truth, that leave IUIC and go do whatever, you can see the spirit leave them because doctrines start to change. Right? Well, the Lord's dealing with me and he's revealing this to me now. No, that's Satan dealing with you now. All right? And it's not for me to say that God's only working with IUIC. The nation of Israel is way too big to wake up for one camp to be able to spread this truth.
Right.
Christ had 12 apostles that said, he said, when I'm gone, you go take the lead. And then when you read in the book of Revelation, Christ dealt with 7 different churches. He's letting you know that his spirit is dealing with various camps to put this glorious gospel, the good news to our people.
Right.
Hey, you've been hired, but now come and labor. Read.
To walk in all his ways and to love him.
And to love them, because love is what? The keeping of the commandments. So if you love him, you're going to keep his commandments. And by keeping his commandments, that shows that you fear him above all things, first and foremost. Read.
To serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul.
Read.
To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good.
So it says to keep the commandments of the Lord. So by loving God, by fearing God, by walking in his ways, then you keep the commandments.
Right.
You're doing the things that are well pleasing to him. It says, which I command thee this day for thy good. It's a goodly thing for us to be put into this discipline box called the commandments. Because mm-hmm. when we're outside of that box, we went by all these bywords and proverbs and everything else. We were left unto our own destruction. He said, okay, you don't want to serve me no more? There you go. And it was those things that we were dealing with or that we were a part of that start sparking questions. Because before I started learning this truth, I always had the question like, damn, like, why are my people always at the bottom? Why are my people always in these different positions of they're taking one step forward and then 10 steps backwards? Why?
Right.
Because even in my ignorance, it was very obvious to see that my people didn't run nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There's rich of my people.
Right.
But the person that signs their paycheck, that's who's wealthy. That's who runs things. Right? So I always had these questions, and that's what sparked everything. But in being hired, the first thing I said, okay, listen, if I'm going to be hired and come work in this vineyard, I don't want to be in unfruitful labor. I want to come and do a good job. I don't want to come do the bare minimum. So then what's required of me? It's right here, to fear God, to love him, to walk in his place, to keep his statutes and his commandments. Give me Baruch 4, verse 1.
The book of Baruch, chapter 4, verse 1.
Crazy how fast an hour goes by.
I don't know what time it is. The book of Baruch, chapter 4, verse 1. This is the book of the commandments of God and the law that endureth forever.
It says, this is the book of the commandments of God. The law that endureth for how long?
Forever.
Meaning the law continues. It was not done away with when Christ was nailed to the cross. The only thing thing that changed was anything that pertained to the Levitical priesthood, because Christ now became the ultimate sacrifice. He said he'll make us a nation of kings and priests. Read.
And all they that keep it shall come to life, but such as leave it shall die.
So keeping of the commandments and the faith of Christ is the assurance that you'll get the kingdom of heaven. There's no way that the Lord's going to tell you, listen, the prereqs and the requirements to come and work in his vineyard to obtain that salvation is to keep the commandments to the best of your ability in the faith of my son. And then you get to the gate and he says, I got you. Like,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Like, right.
And you're like, what? But thou said.
Right.
It don't work like that. He's not unjust to reward you for the things that you do. But if you want to get that reward, then you got to do what the scripture says and be in pain and labor to bring forth.
Right.
Bring forth what? The kingdom of heaven, because it's within you. How bad do you want the kingdom? Every single time that you're falling into some kind of sin, right, especially willful sin, because when you willfully sin, it tells you that's like taking the nails and the hammer and nailing it in Christ's hands yourself to the cross, right?
Yeah.
You should look at it like you're hindering the kingdom of heaven from being put here on earth. The same way that the angels rejoice when one sinner repents, Satan rejoices when you willfully sin, because he knows, okay, cool. My kingdom's going to still continue for at least a little bit longer, because Satan's not ignorant. He knows that this is going to come to naught eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But you're hindering your nation of people, your brothers and sisters coming up out of captivity when you willfully sin. We'll read verse 2.
Verse 2. Turn thee, O Jacob, and take hold of it. Walk in the presence of the light thereof, that thou mayest be illuminated.
It says, turn thee, O Jacob, and take hold of it. Kind of like how the scripture says in Isaiah, that your eyes will see your teachers, and they will say, this is the way walking in.
Right.
Right? Our teachers had a big spiritual sign that said, now hiring, with the arrow pointing one way. And he said, damn, I want to work there.
Yeah.
But how bad do you want to work there? All right? Did you go just put together some sloppy resume and turn it in? Or did you have a nice laid out resume with a nice cover letter that pertained to that position?
Mm.
Right? Went suited and booted to the interview, ready? Or was it like, Christmas is coming up, man. I need money.
Damn.
Right?
Yeah.
It says, take hold of it.
And I say, that's a big part right there. Take hold of it. Don't let it go.
When you take hold of something, all right, and for those, never mind, I'm not going to get into that. It says, but take hold of it. Take hold of the commandment. Take hold of that heritage. Take hold of that job that you've been hired by God to do. Read verse 3.
Give not thy honor to another. Know the things that are profitable unto thee to a strange nation.
And that's what Esau is making us do, right? The Jewish people. They're making our people that are coming out, and they're not saying anything crazy. All they're just saying is that the blacks are the true Hebrews. They're the biblical Jews.
Right.
And they're coming out, and then there's all this backlash where they're being fined and fired, and all these things are happening against them. And what they're making our people do is give our honor to another and the things that are profitable unto us to a strange nation, because these things don't pertain to them.
Right.
They're a strange nation to God. God hates them.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I love that.
Mm.
God doesn't hate. No, God hates. They're a strange nation that he said they've ever been reputed as nothing.
Right.
And we're taking our honor and we're casting it to them. That happened to me. The first time Issachar told me, he said, hey, you're a Jew. My response was, ew. Because all I ever seen was people with the hats and the curly hair,
right,
that smelled funny. They're always dirty looking.
Hey, and you know what's crazy? I don't know. I've never been around them like that. We're real serious when they stink. You know who does stink? Elon. And it's like, oh, shit. Oh, dang.
You know what? I've never really. Never mind. But that was my first response, though.
Yeah.
He told me that. I went, ugh. And he goes, nah, man. Like, that's a good thing. He's like, you're thinking of those people that look like this. He's like, but that's not how the Bible describes his people.
Hmm.
So he broke it down for me. All right, cool. But read verse 4.
Verse 4. O Israel, happy are we, for the things that are pleasing to God are made known unto us. You want this verse?
No, hold on. I'm lost. Read again, verse 4, I'm sorry.
O Israel, happy are we, for the things that are pleasing to God are made known unto us.
The us is referring to O Israel. So You can't squeeze all nations into that. When he lets you know clearly, he's speaking to the Israelites. He says, happy are ye, for the things that are pleasing to God are made known unto us, right? Unto the Israelites. Get Sirach 2, verse 16. Ecclesiasticus chapter 2, verse 16. Let's see the things that are pleasing to God. Because if you want to please the Lord, and if you want to put your hand to the plow and really, really do forth a good work in this vineyard, then you're going to always seek what's pleasing to the Most High. That way you can always stay in the good graces. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Read that, verse 16.
The book of Sirach, chapter 2, verse 16. They that fear the Lord will seek that which is well-pleasing unto him.
So the things that are pleasing unto the Most High God has been shown unto, O Israel, the nation of Israel, the blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. It says, they that fear the Lord will seek the things that are well-pleasing unto him. Read.
And they that love him shall be filled with the law.
And they that love him will be filled with what?
With the law.
Meaning you're going to do the commandments in the faith of Christ. That's what's well-pleasing.
What is requiring you as a hired?
That's what's required. So when Christ said, listen, I chose you, you didn't choose me, it wasn't to come sit here and just do nothing,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the scripture is very clear. There's different administrations of office in this world.
Right.
Again, we all can't be the CEO. Some people got to run the fax machine. It's okay, but if you run the fax machine, make sure it always has paper, it always has ink,
mm-hmm.
right? Preventative maintenance when needed. You be the best damn copier this world has ever seen, right? But you have a position to play, men and women, all right? Read that again, verse 16.
Sirach chapter 2, verse 16. They that fear the Lord will seek that which is well-pleasing unto him, and they that love him shall be filled with the law.
Jump to chapter 3, verse 23.
Sirach chapter 3, verse 23. Be not curious in unnecessary matters.
Don't be curious in unnecessary matters. This is the scripture that we always pour to people when they ask us this question. Nah, brother, that's too deep.
Mm.
You got to focus on the milk, brother. And be like, give me this because you don't know the answer. Hey, listen, the scripture is very clear. It says, if you have an answer, answer your neighbor. If not, then put your hand over your mouth.
Right.
I'm always humble enough to say, but I don't know.
Right.
Just because I'm a captain of IUIC, in IUIC doesn't mean that when I became a captain, they put me in a room and said, all right, brother, here's all the deep mysteries. And gave me a big precept book, and I was like, oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry. Right.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm like, no. Everything that I've learned is through application of the commandments and watching class just like everybody else. But it says, be not curious in unnecessary matters. Read.
For more things are shown unto thee than men understand.
That goes back to that mystery that we started with.
Right.
More things are shown unto us, brothers and sisters, than the common folk, than the majority of Israel is going to understand. Because I believe it's in 2 Ezra. It says that how there's a big wave that's crashing to the shore.
Right.
Right. That's going to be the abundance of people that are killed. And off that wave, one drop off that small wave, that is who's going to get salvation.
You know how scary that is? It's like unimaginable. Like that wave is just huge, gigantic.
But you have that wave, and one drop from that wave is going to be the remnant of those that are saved. So don't be curious in unnecessary things. Listen, it's good to know the deep mysteries, right? It's good to know the parables. It's good to know where we are in prophecy. These things are good. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's not, because it's in the Bible. So if it's there, then that means it's profitable to us. But don't be so wrapped up in it that now you're slacking on your job that you've been hired to do because you're worried about someone else's position.
Right.
Just put your position accordingly. That's it. All right?
And you know what's heavy? I've been seeing a lot of people posting, after Deacon went over, like, the chariots and whatnot, everybody, like, tries to run and trying to be deep like him, like, nah, he's at another level. Y'all brothers, he's there because he's applied wisdom throughout the years, and we're not there. We're not there.
No, listen, the scripture says that it's better to have the fear of the Lord, right, and know little. Actually, let's get it real quick. Let's get it real quick.
What is it, 27? Or?
No, it's going to be Sirach. 19 verse 20. No. 19 verse 24.
The book of Sirach, chapter 19, verse 24.
This is something that we all have to not only hear, but we need to listen to this and then put this into our spirits. This is how we should all roll every single day. Read that.
He that has small understanding is better than one that has much wisdom and transgresses the law of the Most High.
You see that? Those of you brothers and sisters, those of us brothers and sisters that may have just a small understanding, you know you're Israel, but you fear God, meaning you do that's what's well-pleasing unto him and keep his commandments. It says it's better than one that has much wisdom and transgresses the law of the Most High. That precepticon that can go to every single scripture and everything else, right? It's better than that brother that knows or has the appearance of knowing all these things, but then he's in secret sin. He's willfully in sin and everything else, and he's not understanding that the eyes of the Lord is 10,000 times brighter than the sun. He's going to get his recompense. It may not come as swiftly as it would back in the old times, but he's going to get judged eventually, all right? Give me 1 Peter 2, verse 17. I'll end on that.
That's crazy, Kev, because I used to be the Percepticon. Well, I want to say I used to be the Percepticon, but I can memorize a lot of scriptures, and now I'm like, yeah, I don't can't find the scripture. I got to Google.
That's happened to me a lot. Yeah.
I'll pray.
Well, but that's because you've grown in your administration. You've taken on other offices.
Right.
You know, it's different when you first come in. All you do is study.
Right.
But now you come in, and now you got to focus on other things. It happens.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king.
So that's the message that we're going to leave you with, brothers and sisters. I pray that this power hour was edifying. Join us on Saturday with Captain Joshua and
right.
Captain Aparian. And Lord's will, we'll be back on again next Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with your brother, Captain Amariah. I don't know if this guy's going to be on. Maybe.
Probably.
Okay. I'll pray this. Well, with that, we say shalom.
Shalom. You ended the broadcast.
Stop sharing it.
Huh?
Stop sharing it.
No, to the song in there. Look, is bam, right there, stop streaming.
Gotcha.
That makes sense?
I gotcha.
Turn off the music.
Go to Rockford. End it.